Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell differently. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast. You've got your host here, Gabe Larson. We're going to be talking about an element of social selling today. This has always been a key aspect in selling. We're going to be talking about trigger events or understanding when someone moves from job to job and how that can fit into your sales process. And to do that, we've brought on a guest, Kyle Morris. Now, Kyle is the founder at Sif Data. Kyle, how the heck are you?
Doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. So now, Kyle, I was noticing, and I don't know, we actually didn't talk about this too much, but previous to kind of starting Sif Data, you were hanging out at Gigya. Now, I spent some time at Gigya. Did we actually cross paths? I went down and visited them once. Did we cross paths? I don't think so. Maybe?
I don't think so. I was there from 2010 to 2016, and they actually just got acquired over the weekend. So SAP's buying. So it's kind of exciting times.
Is that right?
Yeah, just $350 million. So it's not the biggest exit in the world, but certainly nothing to shake a stick at.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, I went down there. I'd need to look up who we spent some time with, but seemed like a cool company, some cool stuff going on. Maybe you could elaborate just a little bit. I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but tell us a little more about you and what you guys do over there at Sif Data.
Yeah, so in terms of what Sif Data does, we ultimately integrate LinkedIn and Salesforce to surface job changes in Salesforce. I run the company. I founded it. Prior to that, my experience was primarily Gigya. That was my first real job out of school. And I started as an SDR, took over the team, and over a couple of years grew it from 7 reps up to 70. So this is probably about the time you were talking to us. We were in hyper growth mode, took on like $100 million over about 4 years. And then I transitioned to running business operations there. And so I took kind of those two different lenses into designing Sif Data. And I think kind of the big problems that we were facing at Gigya, because we were doing a lot of enterprise type deals, we were churning a lot of mid-market and lower level accounts. And we realized that one of the biggest reasons for churn was that executives would leave and then the new person would come in and rip out our product. And so we were running into a lot of problems there. And back when I was an SDR and used to manage that big team, I would encourage people to reach out to former customers because we found that those deals, they were the easiest meetings to set up. So from hitting a quota perspective, that was the number one way to do it. And second, they just closed really quickly because if someone had purchased your product in the past, it was kind of a no-brainer for them to buy your product again. And so those two data points gave me the sense that this is a problem that we need to solve because we can solve a lot of business issues with that.
Well, yeah. And, you know, in certain spaces, some roles stick around for a long time.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's a 20-year tenure. I mean, in our world, you know, when you and I connected, I was a little more intrigued just as I glanced at it because, yeah, I mean, look, sales leaders, the average CRO based on a lot of stats is there, you know, 18 to 24 months. That's not very long. So that is that it becomes way more applicable to be able to say, hey, I lost one champion, but he is going somewhere else or she's going somewhere else. How do I make sure I kind of stay in touch and see if I can't facilitate that next company's, sales team, et cetera. Makes perfect sense. And I'm interested to kind of get into the conversation and you know, eventually play around a little bit with the technology. But before we do, maybe you can just tell us outside of work, anything unique to yourself, embarrassing moments. I think we talked about duck hunting or, I just said duck hunting. That wasn't you. Duck hunting was something like duck hunting.
Yeah. So I live up in Bend, Oregon, which is a little bit unique because most of the folks you probably talk to are in like Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, kind of in the hub of tech. I moved up to Bend about 3 years ago from the Bay Area. I like to go skiing. So I got 30 days on the mountain last year, hoping to get another 30 to 50 this year. And mountain biking, anything outdoors I can do, I love to do because Bend is kind of an outdoor hub. So, you know, folks that live in like Lake Tahoe, it's kind of an equivalent to that. So it's a good spot. So I love anything I can do outside.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you should come on down to Salt Lake City. We've got a lot of fun. I've never been up to Bend, Oregon. I may have to put that on the destination. One of the reasons I came back to Salt Lake was to get back to I grew up here and God, I love the outdoors, but I was away for, you know, 10, 15 years and I lost some of the mojo, and so I've been back a couple of years trying to work it back in. You know, having kids and stuff makes it a little more difficult than when I was 20, but I can totally relate. So what is your go-to? Is it snowboard, skiing, mountain bike? I mean, whatever you can, it doesn't matter. You kind of got a favorite.
You know, I love to do sports that I'm terrible at. It's kind of fun to be bad at something and see yourself progress. So I took up skiing, so cross-country skiing. That's just one of the most brutal sports to learn. A lot of backcountry skiing, specifically skiing, not snowboarding. I'm just terrible at mountain biking, but I ride with a bunch of buddies who are fantastic, so it makes me better. And road biking, not good at that, but, you know, every day I get better at it. So it's good to struggle, I suppose.
Yeah, man, that sounds like me. I'm a little bit of a hack. I used to feel like I was better, but times change, people change. So flipping the switch, let's get into this concept of job change alerts. You know, starting at a high level, I just want to get at the why. I mean, you were hitting on it a little bit as you talked in your past, but I wanted to just double click on it. What made you think of this concept? Was it you're running this team and you just kind of saw that a lot of people were going and you said, I've got to see if I can create this in a more facilitated way. And if so, why? I mean, were they not doing it very well when they were just kind of running it manually?
Yeah. So the biggest driver of this, so I initially designed this to be a tool for client services teams or account management teams, because a head of account management at Gigya, you know, obviously churn for any SaaS business is really important. And I just, every meeting I'd sit down with him, he'd be upset that we were churning accounts because people were changing jobs. And he was asking me to find tools to track when people change jobs. Mm. And so that was really the biggest driver. And then on top of that, you know, I knew that I'd set a bunch of meetings with former customers and those turned into new customers. So those were kind of the two things. And then when I transitioned out of Gigya, I did a lot of Salesforce consulting. So I started a little Salesforce consulting biz and my customers were asking for similar tools as well. So I realized, like, seeing all these data points, it's a problem. And, you know, anything that's really manual, you should be able to automate if it doesn't really take any skill, right? Like going to check if someone changed a job on LinkedIn, that doesn't require much skill and you should automate it. But LinkedIn doesn't allow you to do that because there's, you know, they don't want people scraping their website. There's no real API available. So you have to do this manually. And so anything that's manual should be able to be outsourced. And
So you just felt the pain and said, we got to see if we can do something about this, see if we can't solve it. Why do you feel like... and this may be somewhat of an obvious question, but I'm still going to ask. I mean, why do you feel like job change is so important? I mean, for someone who's maybe a rookie in this space, why does it matter?
Yeah. And I think you nailed it when you said CROs are sitting in their role for 18 to 24 months. And it really depends on the market you're selling to. Like if you're selling to a doctor, they're not going to change jobs for 30 years. But, you know, primarily if you're selling to marketing, sales, like B2B tech companies are in this space, people are changing jobs all the time. And I'm sure you guys run into this where you go head to head with a competitor and oftentimes you lose. You could lose because the competitor has a better product or maybe the champion doesn't see the value of your product. A lot of times people will write that customer off. They'll be like, you know what? I can't prospect into this company. They're going to be into contract for a year or two. But there's a 50% chance that that CRO is not going to be around at renewal time. You just said that they leave every 12 to or 18 to 24 months. That means there's a 50% chance it could be gone in a year. That account is a perfect company to sell to in the future. And, you know, so many reps are missing quota. They're trying to do the same thing by reaching out to, you know, cold outreach to new companies. I saw a blog post Salesforce put out that a referral customer has a 50x likelihood of closing compared to cold outreach. And but everybody puts effort into cold outreach. Like you need to close one deal compared to 50. It seems like you'd go after the 50 route. But you know, with so many people missing quota, there are ways to be more efficient. And you know, I'm kind of a lazy person. I try to take the path of least resistance. And if there's a way that I can do something that's 50x as valuable as something else, but takes the same amount of effort, I'm going the 50x route. And so that's really kind of what drove me to
build makes perfect sense. So how, you know, when you think of the current market, and you obviously dealt with this, I mean, this is, I mean, I think most of us have heard of trigger events or job change alerts. I mean, those words are familiar, but as I kind of think about it, I'm like, I don't know if anybody does it well. What are people doing to try to manage this right now? I mean, we were talking a little pre-show. There's some functionality like in Sales Navigator. There it seems like there used to be some tools to kind of get some job change alerts. Those have long since ceased, I think, to your point, because they were doing some illegal scraping. on LinkedIn. What are people actually doing to manage this right now? What does the typical process look like?
Yeah, you know, normally the way I tackle any process is kind of the concept of crawl, walk, run. You can't run until you can walk. You can't walk until you can crawl. And everybody's really crawling right now. They're sending their reps to go update leads and contacts in Salesforce and hoping that they do it with no real way to close the loop and make sure that things are being followed through on. So, you know, I talked to a team that's like, I've got 50 Sales Navigator accounts. How could I spend money on another tool? Well, the fact of the matter is that they're probably hoping that reps are doing these things, but they're really not actually taking those actions. You know, the expectation that reps are going to go to Sales Navigator, track all of their prospects, and then update Salesforce when they get those notifications just leaves so many opportunities for points of failure. And look, you've got to crawl before you walk. So I get that that's the first step people are going to take. If they're ready to get beyond that and they're recognizing that they're not doing it perfectly, the next step is maybe sending your lists overseas. So folks will hire people on Upwork, maybe Mechanical Turks, re-upload it to Salesforce. That's kind of the next evolution where, you know, people are recognizing that there's value here. So they're just going to send lists overseas, but it tends to be really time consuming. And, you know, there's quality issues from doing things like that. When they're ready to run, that's when they'll talk to someone like myself. They get the value of tracking job change alerts. They've struggled through all the pain of having reps do things, and they're tired of sending lists overseas. So they want it to be totally automated and native in Salesforce.
Interesting. Yeah. So let me double click on a couple of those. So, in order to do that effectively, and I normally don't like to get too tactical, let's go there for a minute. Mm-hmm. So I'm in Sales Navigator. In order to do this, I would basically have to have my reps add in all their target accounts, build their whole almost Salesforce kind of instance out, get their target accounts in there, get their all their contacts that they want. And then with that, I'll see these little red bubbles, you know, when there is potentially a job change, and right. I can kind of manage it by that front. Am I more or less understanding that flow?
Yeah, that's exactly right. One company I was talking to is looking to really build that how they're using Sales Navigator. So they're going to build three separate accounts with a central Sales Navigator account and have a single intern go and select 3,000 people because that's the limit of people you can track in Sales Navigator, and then just literally manage that entire process. And my mind is like, you're using an intern to do this full time for each account. Like, that's three people that could be actually adding value instead of going into LinkedIn and just clicking around for 8 hours a day.
Just trying to find like job change alerts. That's what they were going to have the intern do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And then what would they do? I don't mean to go too far down this, but when the intern found it, they would just alert the associated territory rep and the rep could decide how he or she wanted to action it. Is that?
Yeah. So there'd be two steps. I think if I'm remembering correctly, they would notify the new account owner that they moved into. Hey, there's a new person that's in your account that had purchased our product. They'd need to go into Salesforce, create a new contact, mark the old one as no longer there, notify the old account manager. So there's, as you can see, there's a lot of points of failure.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. So, okay. So that's the Sales Navigator. And then you mentioned we could get maybe an outsourced overseas type of thing. And we would basically, I certainly get the concept and I love when people think of the outsource option for various tasks that, to your point, potentially can be automated or done more cheaply than having an expensive outside or field rep do it. But in this instance, some organizations would actually send a list and have like an outsourced group monitor for job changes specifically, or just generally trying to keep contact or context information updated?
Yeah, it's much more of the latter where they'll just say, let's export a list of all of our current customer contacts, send overseas every quarter or so, get it back, and then try to do a true up of Salesforce.
That makes more sense. Yeah. Cause I was like, wow, did they actually, I mean, I'd certainly heard of people doing that. And I think there's some real value to that, but to your point, it's more of a true up than it is finding these real time, the real time kind of job change alerts.
That's exactly right.
So damn it. Well, that's not really very good options. There's nothing else, huh? And I don't mean to sell your product too much here, but there used to be some free apps or some junk like that. Nothing else going on in the market right now, or
Salesloft had initially done it. They released something, but they got shut out by.
Were totally cheating on the. The whole business was built on basically breaking the terms and conditions of LinkedIn, which. You know, a lot of people had a problem with, you know, I'm a big believer trying to keep LinkedIn pure. And, right. and I think that was really a dirty, kind of a dirty thing to do. But so that's how they built the business. But to your point, that's long since discontinued, right? I mean, that's been almost a couple of years. That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Several years. Yep.
Wow. So dang it. So now, and normally I don't do this too much, but I'm actually interested to kind of get the piece. So if someone actually engages with SIF Data, how do you make that kind of that third level? How does it become seamless? Do you, are you breaking terms and conditions of LinkedIn, or how do you make sure that you get access to these job changes and then alert in real time? Because that was the thing I thought you said pre-show that was key. I don't care if you notated on my Salesforce record. I want something to come to me. I mean, it could be as simple as an email. It could be a flash button. It could be a, I mean, something that tells me, hey, right now this is live. You ought to do something with it. How does SIF Data work through that? Again, I don't mean to typically push too much product, but I'm interested to see how this evolution happens.
Yeah. And, you know, the way I try to tackle this problem in general, like thinking of, even if SIF Data didn't exist, how would I solve this if I was, you know, running sales at another company? Like, I would want a tool that's native into Salesforce. I would want one that doesn't require work from reps. And that was me tackling the problem from a sales management role, an operations role, and a Salesforce consulting role. Like, how can I blend those? That was like the lens I was looking through. And so, you know, the way that first, not breaking terms of service on LinkedIn, this should be completely above board. Similar to how DiscoverOrg literally calls into organizations, we have teams of people that are checking LinkedIn profiles every single day.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, wow.
And so everybody wants to be a software company, and I 100% get that. But just like DiscoverOrg has done such a fantastic job being a people company, we've kind of taken that tack as well because we know that the data is so valuable. It's going to be more expensive than sending a list overseas, 100%. But the value, because we're tracking customers, we're tracking your highest value contacts, it ends up being worth it for folks. But that's kind of the way we did it. We use people. So we certainly don't want to violate LinkedIn's terms of service. And we know that people really care about this data. But we got it completely native into Salesforce. So there's no like new tool you've got to use or log into LinkedIn and get those notifications there. It's at an organization level. That, in my mind, that data belongs to the company. That data doesn't belong to a rep. It 100% belongs to the company. So that's where we think it should be consumed as well.
Interesting. So you're actually using kind of very much like a DiscoverOrg model, more of a people thing to manage and keep up to date rather than trying to use a scrape or some sort of crawler.
You got it.
Interesting. And then that basically feeds into Salesforce via some sort of program. And then from there, there is then some sort of alert that allows a rep to kind of stay on top of the game there.
Yeah, exactly. So because it's in Salesforce, you can do anything with it. Like, again, my key takeaway was it needs to be native into Salesforce. With Salesforce's workflow automation, you can send email alerts to the BDR that owns the account or the account owner or the old account manager. You should be able to notify essentially anyone. And you can use triggers, workflows, Apex, whatever you want, because it's all tied to the lead and contact in Salesforce.
Interesting. Wow. Well, certainly sounds like you've found a great niche there. I got to admit, there's something... it is an important thing, and it sounds like the way people are doing it is somewhat kind of weak. So I think you've come on to something fairly strong. Any last thoughts for the audience? I'm a little bit flabbergasted that we don't have that we haven't come up with a better solution until now. So kudos for doing it. But any last thoughts for the audience around thinking around deal or kind of these job change alerts?
Yeah, you know, and I think you're making a good point, but I would look at it as companies are just doing, they're taking the path of least resistance. They're doing what's right for them at the right time. And so if there hasn't been a solution, they didn't really have another choice. And so that's why we've tried to fill that. But, you know, if people are bought into the concept of, you know, these triggers or trigger events are important, you can actually generate more business from this. I think the first thing to do is, have your reps start tracking things in Sales Navigator. When that's failing, try sending lists overseas. When you've gotten to that point and you're ready to really, track things at scale and you want to be native in Salesforce, give us a call. But until then, you know, lots of small early size companies can definitely get away with using LinkedIn Sales Navigator. There's no reason to necessarily be paying a company like ours to do this. But if people are finding a lot of value in this, they'll eventually call us. So I'm sure that it's good for folks to just be bought into that concept in general.
Awesome. Well, hey, Kyle, really appreciate it. Great information. Very timely. I think a lot of people obviously talk about social selling. And if you're not nailing this, I think you're missing out on a big portion of social selling. So for the audience, remember, success is just one play away.